just when you think you know everything that's worth knowing, been there, done that, politics, democracies, dictatorships, communist states, religious states, theocratic states, etc., etc., you realize how little you know, and it's very humbling. And I'm getting that realization looking at the German elections, because the system of elections in that country, in that democracy, is so complicated, so cluttered, that while the voting took place on the 26th, results more or less are out, you can't even say accurately whether the election has taken place or election is still taking place. Why do we say so? Because Germany has a very complicated system of electing MPs to its parliament called Bundestag. Now, it is so complex that sometimes, usually, coalitions come up, and sometimes these coalitions are coalitions of the unlikely types, in the sense that people who disagree have no choice but to come together, as happened, say, the last time. But also because for quite some time, you don't even know exactly how many seats would each one have, because this is a strange hybrid. Now, some countries have proportionate representation in their parliament, as we've explained several times about Israel, because we've talked about Israeli politics many times. So every party gets a bunch of votes, then on the basis of those votes, the party then gets percentage of votes, it gets the same percentage of members in the national parliament, say Israel's case, the Knesset. That is the proportional representation. And proportionate representation also can produce some really interesting situations, like Poland, for example, Poland and Russia. Poland and Russia, interesting parties came up. National Beer Lovers Party, beer, daru, Beer Lovers Party. And National Beer Lover Party, why? This came up as satirical party. Satirical party because people used to drink too much vodka. So to discourage them from drinking vodka and living instead a British style pub culture, which means chat for a long time over glasses of warm beer. So you don't get that drunk, you don't get that much alcohol. So these were called National Beer Lovers Party. So the Polish Beer Lovers Party, the Polish name I will struggle to pronounce, but you will see the full name on the screen, so you can try pronouncing it, and if you can do it right, please let me know. But its acronym was PPPP, which I think if that was mentioned in front of teenagers, they will laugh. And it was mentioned in front of older people in India, they'll say, yeah, theek hai, PPPP. And it's no joke, that party contested the elections in Poland and got 16 seats, because in a proportionate system, it got enough votes to get 16 seats. Similarly, the National Beer Lovers Party in Russia also got a bunch of seats and served in national parliament. So proportionate system also creates some interesting possibilities. So I'm sharing a screenshot of an article with you. I'll give you the link of the article. You can read that. And when you see the screenshot, in the T-shirt of the guy there, you can see the name of this Polish party, PPPP. Or they can be FPTP, or first past the post. That is the system we have in India, which means in a constituency, there can be 40 candidates or even more. And that's how that Dharti Pakad fellow used to contest all the time, just for 2 minutes of fame, and also would make good visuals for TV channels before the results started coming in. Now, so there is also first past the post. Now, Germany, in fact, has both. I mean, trust the Germans. Usually Germans keep everything very simple and perfect. So simple and perfect that it some little thing goes wrong, they don't know how to handle it, because the entire system works to perfection. See, for example, Frankfurt Airport, if you've been there, it works like clockwork all the time. But if one little thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong, because they've never prepared themselves for a crisis, because Germans believe in perfection. Their political system, however, is built for complexities and clutter. So you have the Bundestag, and I hope I'm able to describe the whole process correctly, and I don't end up confusing you even more, because I've struggled with this. Now, this is a Bundestag with 598 seats. So far, so good. Of the 598, 299 have to be elected on first past the post system. That is, you put up candidates, whichever candidate gets the most votes, even one more vote than the next guy, that candidate wins. The remaining 299, the remaining half, are given on the basis of proportionate representation. So each party seeks your votes. The party does not put up a candidate. The party may say, oh, my candidates include so and so. To say that yes, sab meri team ke top players hain. And then you vote for that party based on ideology, based on its top leaders, whatever. Those votes are then counted on proportionate basis. And on that proportionate basis, those parties are allocated seats. Now, you will say, simple enough, so why is it so complicated? All right, some countries have first past the post, FPTP. Some countries have proportionate. Germans have got both half and half. So it's neat enough. It's just that they're two different systems and MPs come in through two different streams. So what's the big deal? It just means two different systems. So just add the two and you got a parliament. No. It isn't as simple as that, because Germans also have a system that is called the overhang seats or overhang votes. Now, how does that work? That is a system that's called mixed member proportional. It can be exasperating. Even for explaining, I think I've rehearsed some lines after a long time to try and make sure I don't mix things up. So what happens? Suppose your party is contesting in an election where 100 seats go to FPTP, to candidates, 100 are divided on proportionate basis. Your candidates win 70 seats on the individual side, which means you just have brilliant people running for candidates, and people said, never mind the party, I'm voting for this guy. So suddenly you have 70% seats on this side. On the other side, proportionate representation, people don't think that your party's ideology, etc., is great, or that the other party's ideologies or policies are great. They may not have such exciting candidates, so you haven't voted for them on this side, but you've given them more votes on this side. Now, how do you reconcile the two? Do you consider both as apples and apples, or do you say one is apples, one is oranges? So the Germans treat them as apples and oranges, and ultimately they create a hybrid out of them. And how does that happen? That is called overhang seats. Overhang seats are when a party gets a certain proportion of the votes, and that does not reflect in the number of seats it has gone on the individual or FPTP side. So if your party has got 7 seats on the FPTP side, but enough votes to get 10 seats on the proportionate side, then you will be compensated with 3 seats on this side. So you will get 10 and 10 on either side, because you have to get compensated for your popularity. Similarly, if a party gets maybe 93 seats out of 100 on this side, but has the votes only to get 23% on this side, then it is not fair that party, just because it gets 93 seats or a majority only on the FPTP side, gets to have a majority and rule the country. So this is to balance it. So I hope I've been able to explain it. So the biggest uncertainty with the German political system is that you don't know how many MPs ultimately with the Bundestag have. In fact, the outgoing Bundestag, against its normal strength of 599, had 709 seats. So you can then count 110 seats for overhang seats that various parties got. So we don't even know what the final number will be. So how do we know what the majority will be? Once again, on the proportionate side, nobody has got an overwhelming percentage. So all these calculations will now go on. Calculators are out, and this complex calculations will go on, and the various parties will then see kaun kitne pani mein hai, who's got how many seats, and then they will try and come together. And that is how these coalitions will come up. And I will explain these coalitions to you. They are fascinating. But before that, you might ask me, why are you spending so much time and energy and also so much effort explaining what looks like really a complex situation, a complex system. about a country called Germany with just 8 crore 30 lakh population, because Germany is the biggest economy in Europe, the fourth biggest economy in the world, right? Remember, after America, which is 30 crores plus people, China, which is 140 crore plus people, and Japan, this 8 crore 30 lakh population of Germany is the fourth largest economy in the world. Per capita income on nominal basis, not PPP, on nominal basis, about $52,000. So this is a very rich, very powerful country. It has some of the greatest brands in the world, particularly when it comes to areas of engineering, high tech, etc., etc. So in many ways, it is the captain of Europe, particularly now that Britain has gone away. It is the captain of Europe. I know the Germans will contest this, but it is the captain of Europe. And also, if you want to see the populations of Europe, Germany may look like a small country because we tend to compare everything, say, with India. But if you see the population of European countries, then Russia, 14.5 crores, Germany, about 8.3 to 8.4 crores. UK 6.8 crores, France 6.5, Italy 6, and then Spain 4.6, and then Ukraine, chota. Just by the way, just as an aside, the smallest country in Europe is actually the Holy See, which is the Vatican. Only 831 people, 831. But I suspect each one of them has a direct line with somebody up there, so they count for a lot. A sovereign country of 831 people. They also have an embassy here, a mission here in Delhi, as they do in most countries. Anyway, that was just an aside. So, why did the Germans create this system? Germans created this system because when the Weimar Republic came up in 1919, what was Weimar Republic? Weimar was the place where a new constitution was adopted. That allowed all kinds of chota mota groups to get some MPs in parliament. That helped parliament to ransom and no decision could be taken. That is what weakened German democracy and German parliament, or the Weimar Republic as it was called. And that led ultimately to the rise of Hitler, because people said this system simply cannot produce a decisive leader. So we need a decisive leader, big decisive leader. And that's how Hitler came up. So this new system was created so as to overbuild the system of checks and balances, so a Weimar kind of situation would not come up, that there will always be a functional government. That doesn't mean a functional government is easy to form. 2017 elections, the negotiations to form a coalition went on for how long? For 5 months. 5 months. Right? And even this time, it looks like it might just go on for a long time. That's the reason we say elections have taken place, but elections are still taking place in Germany. That is how complex the situation is there. So when you see a ballot paper in Germany, it has two parts. The first part is called the first vote, which is constituency wise and first past the post system. Candidates' names are there. So first vote, which in German is called Erststimme. I presume it means in German first time. And the second vote is then called Zweitstimme. That is the second vote. That is where the party's name appears and you vote. You choose which party you vote for, and there the seats go on proportionate basis. Again, because of how the Germans got chastened after the Weimar Republic, to ensure that really marginal parties do not get into parliament, they also put a minimum limit of 5% of the proportionate vote. So if from the proportionate vote, which is given to the party, your party gets less than 5%, then you may not be allocated any seat at all, because it's those one or two guys who come and who can create problems, particularly when coalitions have tight majorities. So this is to keep them out. In fact, as I see right now, the left parties at this point have 4.9%. But we'll see by the time the final results come in, they may cut that threshold of 5%. Right now, it is 4.9%. Now, what are the parties which are contesting? So one is Angela Merkel's party, sort of the ruling party, which is CDU, which is Christian Democratic Union. Now, this is a party of the center right. Last time also, it did not get a majority. That's how negotiations went on for 5 months. They arrived at some kind of a document or some kind of an arrangement, which we might have called a common minimum program in India when the UPA came in. So CDU actually got into partnership with its main rival, that is the center-left Social Democrats, which is SPD, which is a Social Democratic Party of Deutschland of Germany. So both got together. So CDU got the chancellor. Chancellor is like the prime minister or the chief executive of Germany. Germany has a president who's ceremonial, like our president. So Angela Merkel was elected the chancellor, and the leader from the other party, that is SPD, he became the vice chancellor and the finance minister. He, in fact, is now seen to be the front runner if a new coalition comes up, because SPD at this point looks like it has got just a little bit, about 1 percentage point more of the popular vote than CDU. So if that happens, then this gentleman called Olaf Scholz will become the chancellor this time. Vice chancellor and finance minister to chancellor is a known figure because he was a prominent member of the outgoing government as well. Then you have the left, which I just told you has done quite poorly this time. The Greens have done brilliantly this time, and I will give you vote percentages as they reflect right now. The Greens are basically environmentalists who want the perfect world, etc. The far right party last time had done very well. They had become a kind of premier opposition with nearly 14-15% of the vote. They've done quite poorly this time, which is a good thing. Far right is called AfD, which is Alternative for Germany. Germany is D is Deutschland, so that's why AfD. Now, what happens in the German system? Once all these MPs or members of the new Bundestag come in, then they elect a chancellor. Their coalitions come in. So the leading coalition will elect somebody, a chancellor. They take that name to the president, who's ceremonial. The president then holds a vote. That vote is held on secret ballot. Everybody votes. So Germany does not elect its chief executive directly, unlike America. But then in parliament, everybody votes. And because it's secret ballot, I am presuming there is no whip system. So people from the same party that might have nominated somebody to be chancellor, I would understand if he or she so wishes, can vote on the other side. So this is as complicated as that. This is also an unusual election because it's the first German election after the Second World War in which the incumbent is no longer a candidate, because Angela Merkel said after 16 years that I no longer want this job. In fact, I'll share with you a link from an article in France24.com which beautifully explains 16 years of Angela Merkel. Please see that. That's quite wonderfully done. All the high points with pictures and description. It's great. Now, if you look at how this pie is cut right now, how this pie is divided. So CDU and CSU. CSU is Christian Social Union, mainly located in Bavaria, where Munich is. They together have 24.1% of the votes. In fact, if I look at the seat count as of now, that again tells you how close it is, because the first lot, that is the SPD, has 206 at this point. CDU plus CSU, which are a natural sisterly alliance, they have 196. Then the Green parties have 118. They've done very well this time. And FDP, Free Democratic Party, they have 92 seats. Once again, if you go with percentages, 25.7 for SPD, 24.1 for CDU, CSU, 15% for Greens, FDP is 10.3. AfD, that is the Alternative for Germany, that has 4.9. So we are not sure whether they'll get any seats in the end, but let us see how the counting and percentage goes on. The left has 6.1, so they might get a few seats. Now, the question is, what kind of coalitions will come into being? And this is quite fascinating how these are described. So first one is called a traffic light coalition. So how do the traffic lights go? Red, amber, green, right? Lal batti ruko ruko, pili kahe zara, samal ke chal, hari batti bole, chalo chalo. I remember it from my children's schooling years. So that means it's a coalition of red, green and amber. So that is if the SPD and Greens as in green, and FDP, which is amber, SPD is red, if they come together, they get a sufficient percentage of the vote, they can set up a coalition. The other coalition is the Jamaica Coalition, as it's called. It's quite fascinating how this is done. And why is it called Jamaica Coalition? Because it'll involve parties who will somehow resemble the flag of Jamaica. So you have the black on the sides, black triangles on the sides, green triangle top bottom, and between these a strip like an X or like a cross of yellow. So this has to be a party again of black, green and amber. So this will be CDU plus FSU plus green plus FDP. So that is called the Jamaica Coalition. They will have about 55% of the vote. So they can form a government because they represent three colors of the Jamaican flag. This looks like a natural coalition, but an effort to form this in 2017 had failed after many months of trying. So people remember that. Then you can have a grand coalition, which is SPD, SDP and CDU. It's like in India, BJP and Congress both fell short of majority. Suppose both got 200 seats each and said, "Theek hai, chodo pare, chodo kal ki baat hai. We are together 400 seats. We got an overwhelming majority. We'll form a government. One of you take the prime ministership. The other one becomes deputy prime minister." I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's a bit like that. And this is what happened the last time in Germany. That was a grand coalition where SDP plus CDU came together with CSU, because CSU comes along with CDU anyway. Both are Christian conservative parties. Relatively conservative. But you know what happens with people who've been in power for a full term? Fatigue develops. So this is the current ruling coalition, but now fatigue has developed within it and people are also tired with it. Then there is a red and green coalition possibility, which is SPD plus Greens plus the left, right? If you put them together, you can have a government, but Olaf Scholz, who's the leader of SPD, is a bit wary of that. Because that will then make people think that somehow this party or this group is rooted in the old East Germany because of the involvement of the left parties. They don't want it. Then you come to Germany coalition. Everything is a German coalition. So why is it called Germany coalition? Because this reflects the colors of the flag of Germany. That is black, red and yellow. So as I speak, you will see these flags and you will know why these are called, how they are called. And they will get 67% of the vote. So no problem. So that will be SPD plus CDU/CSU plus FDP. They can come together. Or then there's a Kenya coalition. Now what is Kenya? Remember the map of Kenya? Kenya is black, red, green. In between there is a shield and two spears. So Kenya coalition is SPD plus CDU/CSU plus the Greens. The same people usually travel in various coalitions, except those who can never go together. There are a few of them, but not that many, in fact. Then you have other possibilities. There is a black and green possibility, black and yellow possibility. I am not going all over there. Now, who are the leaders right now? Who can be the likely candidates for chancellor? CDU has a leader called Armin Laschet. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. 60 years old. Premier as in chief minister of the largest state in Germany, that is North Rhine-Westphalia. Bit like, say, the chief minister of Uttar Pradesh, right? He was quite popular and looked like he was going to lead his party to the largest number of seats, but seems to have failed to do that. One of the reasons was that during the campaign, he was caught laughing on camera at a memorial service for those who died in the floods of this summer, the floods of July. And those things work badly in an election campaign. He was, in fact, the joint candidate for chancellor with Christian Social Union. But right now, it looks like the other side might do better. The other side is Olaf Scholz, 63. He was supposed to be very boring, very dull. He's the outgoing finance minister and vice chancellor. Vice chancellor means vice deputy prime minister. He was considered so boring that he was actually called Scholzomat. Scholzomat is a kind of robot that is used in schools in Germany. So he was considered robotic, but now looks like he's got a new life and he's doing well, and he is a good possibility going ahead. There are other interesting candidates, but I don't think they are going to have much of it. There is Annalena Baerbock. She's the leader of the Green Parties. She's just 40 and she promises tougher policies on Russia, China, etc. But once again, doesn't have the numbers to become chancellor. And also, funnily, in the election campaign, got caught on charges of plagiarism. So that is the field that we have. Now, you might say, what will change for India? Why should we bother? Look, Germany is a very important country in the world. German policies also determine Europe's policies in many ways. Europe together is still a very big force. Doesn't matter that Britain has gone the other way. So Germany is the engine that drives Europe, and Germany is also the country which in many ways drives the world economy. German companies are among the oldest and the most reliable and durable investors in India. Germany and India have also now built a strategic partnership formally, which has gone on now for 20 years and has only become stronger and stronger. Angela Merkel, in fact, visited India 4 times. So given all that, Germany is important. But for me, a political rat who loves to look at politics from as deep as possible, from every nook and corner, this is a fascinating experience learning about this completely unique parliamentary system.